If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listnick, Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of law and politics you watch me cover on television every day into the world of arts and theater and entertainment. And today, perhaps a bit of nostalgia, not just for those of you old enough to remember the person we're going to talk about, but truthfully, I think regardless of your age, this gentleman has fans of all ages, and you'll understand what I mean as I introduce you to the man who portrays and plays the music of John Denver, the legendary and great John Denver, who left us way too soon. Rick Shuler is the man who plays him. He's coming to Chicago for Broadway and Chicago show called Rocky Mountain High Experience, a John Denver Christmas. It's playing at the Broadway Playhouse around Christmas time, from the 19th through the 22nd. It can't get any closer to Christmas than that. And Rick, welcome to Chicago, at least right now in your chat.
Wow, Paul, it's great to be in Chicago with you.
Absolutely. And by the way, so I have in to spirit. Ask which comes first, because your resemblance to John Denver, I mean, parallel the ages, whatever you want to parallel, but your resemblance is pretty uncanny. So I have to sort of ask, did you grow up a John Denver fan and made yourself kind of go with a John Denver look, or did you always have the John Denver look and then found out that you happened to be a John Denver fan? What came?
You know, it's funny. It's a combination. At the age of 13, I had to wear glasses, and that's when people were telling me that I looked like John. And when I kind of started looking into it myself, I got the Rocky Mountain High album, the vinyl album,
yeah,
and I listened to it. I thought it was funny that I thought it was odd that our voices at the time, I didn't know what timbre was, but our vocal color is very similar in that sense. But the texture is a little different. His texture is a little sharper and mine's softer. So, but it was, you know, I didn't really understand a lot of that, but it was interesting is that I really didn't, at the time, I didn't know who he was, but I, you know, he was only the biggest star in the world. And, you know, but it was because of my glasses, you know, that people were telling me that. And of course, you know, I didn't, you don't really think about who you look like, you know, the sound alike thing was kind of odd to me, but
well,
I have
that was critical because you could look like him, but if you didn't sound like him, it doesn't get you to the same place.
Well, I mean, there's people that knew John, very dear friends of mine who really knew John, that, you know, I'd call them up, you know, and leave a message on their answer machine. And they thought, oh, my gosh, you freaked me out, man. But I was John, you know. I mean, it's funny because people that knew him, you know, we have some similarities. But, you know, I didn't really meet anybody connected to John until probably 2011. And that's when, you know, I met all these people, the inner circle of John, and they took me in like family. So it's really sweet.
By the way, if you're ever given the option to also do a play about the life of Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch, you could pass for him too.
Ah! You know, it's funny. There's a bunch of people. There's a guy named Jan Michael Vincent who's a
big
surfer.
Oh, I know. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm a surfer. And it's so funny because I think I personally think I actually looked more like him when he was younger, but it's, you know, it's funny is that, you know, I met a lot of guys that look like John Denver, and quite frankly, you know, I think John is the most amazing human being that ever lived, quite frankly. And probably one of the very best singers. People don't realize how much John sang professionally. He did over 100 concerts a year for many, many years.
Well, let's in fact, by the way, I remember Jan Michael Vincent from a show called Sandcastles, a movie called Sets. That's how far back I go with Jan Michael Vincent. But we're on to John Denver. First of all, for those, you know, there may be people watching us or listening to us, they can be doing either, who might say, you know, I know John Denver. I know his hits, Country Roads and Rocky Mountain High. I don't know a lot about John Denver. In fact, when I said at the beginning of this, he left us too soon, they might not even know what I'm talking about. So let me turn it over to you for those who we're introducing to the music of John, who know his music, but don't necessarily know the story that goes with us. Give us a little bit of his story.
Yeah, John Denver was born in Roswell, New Mexico. He grew up in kind of an Air Force brat. You know, his father was a famous pilot. His father, actually Dutch. Duchtendorf actually has speed records that nobody has broken yet. And John eventually became a pilot like his father. He died in a plane crash in an experimental.
John Denver did.
Yeah, not his father. His father died of a heart attack. But John John became very famous as a singer-songwriter in the 70s. He was quite prolific as a writer. He's written, I think he has about 220 songs or so. He sold well over, I forget how many millions. It's probably well over 120 million. He was number four as far as the American singers. You know, I think Elvis was number one. Michael Jackson was number two. Frank Sinatra was number three. And John Denver, number four. Very popular. Hal Thaw, who managed John, was kind of famous for saying that, you know, as the Beatles were for the 60s, John, you know, Elvis the 50s, John was the 70s. And John's music, like Sunshine on My Shoulders, Rocky Mountain High, Country Roads, I mean, those are so ingrained and really like ambassadors to our culture, all the very best of the things that we personally, well, I should say we collectively have as a country. Really are represented in these beautiful songs. Like Country Roads is the number one song in China in English. Their Germans sing it in English at their soccer games, you know. But John was very well loved. He was in a movie called Oh God with George Burns. In fact, George Burns, Hal Thaw, his manager, who's a very dear friend of mine, he told me that he was on a plane ride with George Burns from New York to L.A., and George turned to him and said, you know, if God ever came down to Earth, he would seek out John Denver.
Wow.
Yeah.
And George would know because George was playing God in that movie. So
I know. And it was a very fun movie. It was a very beautiful movie. And John was just a beautiful human being, a wonderful person. My friends who knew him were close to him. Really speak so highly of him. And quite frankly, I did a show at the Fox Theater just a couple days ago in Redwood City, and a lovely lady named Winnie came up to me, and she knew John personally, and she was very sweet. She was 94 years old, and she was a doll, and you know, told me all kinds of lovely stories about him. But I have heard nothing but just wonderful stories about John. And what he means, as I mentioned to you, I love putting perspective on his music and on him. And in fact, C.S. Lewis says there's three great longings of the soul, eternal longings, the longing for home, the longing for God, and the longing for love, and the longing for nostalgia, which has really resonated through those three themes. John's hit songs hit all of those themes. That's why they're so timeless and so popular around the world, no matter how old a person is, what their culture is, what their language is. Those songs resonate, you know, the longing for home and love and God through nature.
Let me ask you this. I mean, just I'm listening to what you're saying. And if John Denver were in your audience, say here in Chicago, when you're here from December 19th to 22nd, if he's sitting in the Broadway Playhouse, meaning he's still with us. And he came backstage afterwards to say, hey, Rick, what do you think? I mean, I don't think he wouldn't be like, stop doing me. Right. I mean, I get.
Yeah.
What would his
reaction
be? Probably
want some money. No, I'm just
kidding. Right. I want a percentage of what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I've never thought of that question, but the thing is, John was unique in who he was and how he sang. I think he would love what I'm doing. I think the perspective of it, especially because John couldn't put perspective on himself. You know, I can't put perspective on myself and the importance of what I'm doing. You know what I mean? You can't put perspective. So when someone can put perspective on what you're doing, it can probably give you reason to wonder. You know, I could see that, you know.
So and when we step in, by the way, you yourself are also you write music, you're a musician. So it's not as though you live your life as John Denver only. There's also Rick Schuller who does it.
Yeah.
And so in doing some homework on you and your music and all of that, in this show, by the way, I want to confirm one other thing. It is a Christmas show, so people are going to get Christmas songs. We're going to talk
Oh, yes.
About the show in a bit. But just in case people are thinking, well, is he going to do the John Denver Classics? May I say, because I've seen your set list, the answer is yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a Christmas show. We're doing, you know, I've got a lot of segues in there for the Christmas songs and John Denver songs. And it's really a lovely show. And it's interesting is that the whole vibe of Christmas is so lovely. You know, it's all about family.
And it was to John Denver. He recorded
it. Very much. Yeah, I mean, very much. I mean, there's just timeless classics that we have. I pretty much tried to get all the great hits of John in the set. And quite frankly, it's so fun because this music is tied to everybody's childhood, really. We were all younger in the 70s. You know, some of us weren't even here, you know. But
I was.
But the beautiful thing is that for people that are younger, the younger audiences love the shows. The children come and they're just kind of, it's a story. And C.S. Lewis has a wonderful saying. He says, a story can break past the watchful dragons of reason, and I add to engage the heart. And so you see these kids and their parents come up to me and, what are you doing? My kids are just focused. They're really enjoying it. And it's like, well, the thing is, it's a story. And with story, you have this contiguous thought, and it's kind of a thing where you just kind of want that to continue, you know?
Yeah. The other thing that I've noticed about when you do the show and when you perform it, you don't pretend to be John Denver. I actually thought you would. When I first came across you, I thought you were going to come on and just kind of be John Denver. You don't. And I'm sort of curious. That had to be a decision you needed to make at some point.
Oh, yeah.
With your look, and you don't wear glasses in the show either, I might add.
No. I hate the glasses. I wear them at night. I mean,
you could wear fake ones just to have a John Denver look.
You know, the thing is, I tried that for a couple shows, but I really didn't like it because, you know, it was kind of one of those things. I thought of using it for a prop. We were kind of sometimes use it as a prop, but the reality is John didn't really wear his glasses either. You know, it's much more, you know, you have peripheral vision, you know, without the glasses. And plus, you know, the thing is,
my memory is with him with glasses.
So in the 70s, John wore the glasses because he had to, he couldn't wear contacts. Now, in the 80s, he got rid of his glasses. And he really found that, you know, that he enjoyed life better without the glasses. And, you know, that he didn't actually want to be the guy behind the glasses at one point because he had changed quite a bit. You know, he divorced his wife, you know, his manager, he fired his manager, Jerry Weintraub, one of his managers. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, life had changed for John. He wanted to change things. He was changing the way he was singing. He really became more operatic, very much influenced by Placido Domingo and some others. But quite frankly, I think John became such a wonderful singer, even more so. And I love the contrast and the differences. For me, I just love being myself and singing. And it's kind of fun because my story is kind of parallel to John's and really applied. It's really like John Denver's music applied to life. And I find that so fascinating. You know, I find that more fascinating than someone trying to do an impersonation or an imitation of John. It's more authentic, I think.
Well, I also agree with you. You know, there's a recent show, you're just triggering this in my mind, a recent Simon and Garfunkel tribute that's also gone around. And the guys that play Simon and Garfunkel, and I've interviewed them, and, you know, they look, certainly Garfunkel, they look like them. So that's okay. But they do the same thing. They kind of tell the Simon and Garfunkel story. They sound just like them. If you've never seen it, just go online and check them out. I mean, they're really good. I'm a huge Simon and Garfunkel fan, but they never pretend to be them. And and by the way, this will never happen to you, but there was one night where they were performing and unbeknownst to them, Art Garfunkel was in the audience and walked up on stage afterwards and they didn't know that he was there or that he was going to do. In fact, the theater didn't know that he was going to do that. It's a great little thing you can find online. So anyway, John can not do that with you since he's not with us. But the point is the notion of saying I'm doing a tribute, I'm not going to pretend to be him, I think makes sense. Now, in other shows that you've done that aren't Christmas shows, you also do Rick Schuller music. So do we get that here? Do we get that in this
Yeah, there's an album that I have called Colorado that we did in Nashville with Keith Folliset, a legendary producer, songwriter there. Him and his wife and I wrote three songs together. And there's a couple songs that I do in the set. One of them is called Back to You, which we wrote, which was interesting. It was basically how this music always brings me back to my values, to my roots, to John's lovely music. And what I found is that it's really the audience's story as much as it is mine. And C.S. Lewis has another quote, which I love. C.S. Lewis is a big influence on me. He says, "How to communicate without manipulation? You get shoulder to shoulder with someone. Here's what I see, man. Do you see this too?" And that's basically what my show is all about. That's really what John did early in his career. And I think, really, quite frankly, it's so much darn fun. I always make a joke that I'm having more fun than the law allows. It's never been more true.
It may be more true as time goes on, who knows? But
I know, right?
yeah, right. So do you ever is there ever a show, all the shows that I've seen of you with you, they're always you in a John Denver form. Are there shows you go out and it's just come see Rick Shuler? And I mean, can you get away with just not doing John Denver
Oh
the entire
yeah.
thing?
Well, the thing is, what's kind of funny is when I was living when I first moved out to California in '94, and I was working on a lot of my own songs. I have five or six of my own albums. And it was kind of fun. I'd be doing Dan Fogelberg, James Taylor songs. I did various covers of the, singer songwriter type guys. James Taylor, my voice is baritone to first tenor, so James is more my baritone. John's more my upper tenor, and Dan Fogelberg is a little of both, and Gordon Lightfoot, all those guys. But my own songs, I'd be doing all these songs. But if I did a John Denver song, that's all anybody would want to hear. It was so funny because I own those songs in a way that is different than my own songs. And it's funny, you recognize something that there's so much, and it's not just really what I'm doing or even the song itself. Well, it is the song too. There's a way that John's phrasing in his songs is so lovely, and really the meaning behind those songs. And I just, like I said, I just love putting perspective around it. I enjoy the interviews, Paul, almost as much as I enjoy singing.
When you do this, then do you want? I'm hearing you say a couple of things. I want to kind of button this down a bit. Is it Rick Shuler doing John Denver, or do you say no? When I'm doing a John Denver song, I so respect his turn of phrase, I really try and do it as Denver would do it, or did it?
Some of my friends call me Ricky John
Okay.
because the truth of it is that it's a Rick Shuler show, but like, for example, when I sing some of these ballads of John's, I feel, and any singer that really applies their craft, really, you own the song. You know what I mean? If there's a sense of ownership that you put on it with your own emotions and your own feelings. The beautiful thing is it's so synergetic with, or synergistic with, John's, I believe, intentions, and maybe even super intentions, a spiritual aspect, which I believe is there, that it becomes something really, I don't even know how to describe. I would say that people project on me what they want to. I kind of, you kind of have to allow that. I mean, some people, when they hear me sing, I mean, they're hearing Rick Shuler, and it's kind of fun. When I sing, a James Taylor song, it doesn't have the same resonance that a John Denver song would, or a
Although
Brent
it's beautiful,
song.
I've heard you do Fire and Rain. I mean, you sound beautiful when you're doing James
Well,
Taylor
thank
music as
you.
well. So
Yeah,
I
I
have
love
listened.
those things.
I mean, these are great artists.
They're great artists.
Has there been any work? Did you need permission from the John Denver Estate or Foundation or whatever like that? Or is this, are they involved at all in helping you put this together?
No, not at all, really. But I think it's interesting is that I worked with a group of people. I worked with Miles Copeland for a little while, along through with a friend of mine named Tina Clark, And they had meetings with the Denver Estate people. And, you know, we had actually, from my understanding, I wasn't privy to the actual meetings, but I know that we had some meetings with them. And, but we couldn't really come to any agreements. And I'm not working with them anymore. They're friends, but I'm not working with them. I have a new group with, you know, Paul Emery and my manager, Mark Bell. Paul Emery's our promoter, and Mike Stiles. And, you know, we have a great team. I mean, quite frankly, I think we have the very best team. John Denver had the best team. He had Hal Thaw, he had Jerry Weintraub, he had Milt Oaken, his producer. And my producer for my album, Colorado, is Keith Falsey, as I mentioned. And Keith and I can't wait for people to hear my new album. We did four of John's hit songs, Rocky Mountain High, Country Roads, Leaving on a Jet Plane, and Annie's Song. And wow. and they're my producer loves our version of Leaving on a Jet Plane more than John's, and even the Mamas and Papas, because I kind of combined the Mamas and Papas chordal arrangements with
love
John's.
That too.
Yeah, it's a beautiful quite right, it's a beautiful album, Colorado. It has eight of my original songs.
I'm guessing that out in the lobby afterwards. I'm not looking to promote this, but I'll just say it. I mean, will that be available? People can get some of your stuff afterwards.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we're going to have merchandise on it. It's been a busy tour with travel. We might have some merchandise in Chicago. There's a possibility of that. Yeah,
there's,
I mean, I used to travel with that.
I said there's a place for it in the Broadway Playhouse. I'm assuming, is this your first time to Broadway Playhouse?
No, this is our first time. This is my first time to Broadway Playhouse. It's funny. I'm a Midwest guy. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and I used to go to Chicago. I've been to the Taste. My best friend, Tony Pham, used to live on Michigan Ave, and we used to go up there when he was living there after college, and we'd just go up there and we'd hang out. And walking through this big streets after the Taste, you know, Chicago, just having a blast. I mean, I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities. And I'm very honored and excited to be performing at the beautiful Nederlander.
Broadway Playhouse. Nederlander is a different one. You're going to be at the Broadway Playhouse, right? Yes. I had to check that for a second. Well, because if you were at the Nederlander, you'd be pushing Harry Potter off the stage, and I don't know if they would go.
You know, you know, what's so funny is I have to look at my schedule to the next city that I'm going to.
Right.
Because we have 32 shows in 32 days. And
well,
literally,
it's Christmas. You got to get them all in the Christmas season.
You got to get them all in Christmas. And it's so funny because we're having so much dirt. I mean, I'm having a blast. You know, it's just magical. I'm currently I'm in California, a mid-coast around San Luis Obispo. We have a big show here tonight in Arroyo Grande, and then I'm heading to L.A. tomorrow morning. And I'll tell you, it's just a magical feeling. And the audience is singing the Christmas carols with me. We're singing the John Denver songs, doing a couple of my songs. And quite frankly, it's just a wonderful, wonderful show. It's fun.
Well, here's the good news. So I used to do a Broadway backstage TV show, and we did it in that theater that you're going to be in, the Broadway Playhouse.
Wow.
I know that theater well. I know the stage well. But here's the nice part of it I think you will find. As much as John Denver also played huge venues and all that kind of stuff, you're going to feel an intimacy in this theater. Even the seats in the furthest back of the Playhouse are close to you.
Wow.
There's just it's where the recent show Savor with Dancing with the Stars celebrities played, and currently Richard Marsh, who does a Die Hard show, a one man show on the movie Die Hard, right, with him. But he's also in that theater space. You'll be going in there next, and I just got to tell you, you're going to be. I don't know. Well, I'll ask you this question: is there audience interaction with you? Because that's a particular space where breaking down the fourth wall is not difficult to do.
Wow. Oh, totally. Absolutely. I mean, it's really, that's the whole thing is, there's a collective as well as an individual experience for people. There's an esprit de corps that forms when you have everybody singing together, and it's beautiful. It's like, in fact, I usually give space to the audience to sing a chorus of, you know, some of the songs.
You kind of have to, right? Because if you don't, it's like going to see Wicked. We're going to do it.
Oh yeah, well, I invite them.
Might as well embrace it.
You know, but yeah, well, it's actually, I'll tell you, I love listening. You know, I give the audience a chorus, and I just sit there and listen to them, and oh my goodness, and it's so cool because, you know, there's a There's a beautiful synergy with the audience where they want to sing these songs. I start to sing Country Roads and then they're singing it.
Exactly.
You know, they're all singing it together. And I'll tell you, the hair on your arm stands up. It's beautiful, man. I mean, it's just totally far out. I must say, I can't even believe I get to do this. It's so much fun.
So, Rick, just between us, it isn't annoying when we start singing along with you.
No, man, not at all. No, I invite them. John used to invite people. Now, the funny thing is with John is that, like in Japan and some places, you couldn't hear John. I mean, if you even YouTube some of John Denver's concerts, the Japanese will sing it all in English.
Really?
You can't hear John. You know, now John used to. It used to get so bad, you know, not so bad, but it used to get so loud that John would have to ask people to restrict themselves to the choruses so he could do the verses so people could hear him. And, you know, the truth
it's
of it
be touchy,
is,
by the way, it's gotta, please don't
it's
sing
beautiful.
Along the first.
Well,
I will tell you when you get to join me.
Yeah, it's a funny thing because people want to hear the singer.
Yeah.
And, you know, we want to be respectful to that, you know, especially with some of the ballads because they're very. They're very, how to say, and it's like I said, it's sort of an individual slash collective thing. And it's, I mean, literally, I could wax elephants all day on this stuff because it's so fascinating. I mean, I should write a book about it because there really is something beautiful about people singing together and the way that they sing it. Different audiences. I did some shows in West Virginia, and when we got to that song and the way they sung it, oh my Lord, it was so scary beautiful.
Wow.
It was just,
well, that goes to show you the love that is still out there.
Oh.
I mean, if you think of the flip side, which is nobody singing along, nobody is connecting with it, not good. So,
well, yeah, that's another point, you know. It's a very good point. I mean, I think honestly, you know, I enjoy personally when people sing along with me. I enjoy when it happens spontaneously, especially, you know, and sometimes I invite them to sing along and they'll just sing louder. But I think what's nice is, you know, it's nice to have it both ways. You know, you get up where there's some of the ballads, they just listen and most of the times they do, you know, but I think the greatest tribute to John Denver really isn't me, but it really is the audiences coming to support the shows, coming to enjoy, and really to sing.
I agree with you. Let's talk about the show itself. Again, I have been privy to your song list, so I know what you're going to do. I'm not going to give it away. You can, but what I will say is it's a nice, there are going to people hear well over 20 songs, really 26 songs. I think I can say that.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, and so it is a mix. I mean, all the hits are here. That's the first thing. I checked them off. As soon as I got the list, I went, all right, is that Shirley Country Roads? And I'm going to just, I will give that away because I think people need to know they're going to hear the classics they want to hear.
Yes.
But there's also all of these wonderful and beautiful Christmas songs, Chestnuts and Other Things.
Yeah.
Do people, they probably join in on those too, just because.
Oh, they absolutely do. Yeah, they absolutely do. I mean, it's fun. I mean, you know, like even Let It Snow by Bing Crosby is a beautiful song. I mean, there's just so many. I mean, there's something special about Christmas. You know, it brings the family together. It's kind of cute when people bring their whole families. The kids are coming. And it's really just, and people come to hear their favorite song. You know, a lot of them, you know, there's some of the, you know, Annie's song is such a monumental love song. And of course, Country Roads, Leaving on a Jet Plane, Rocky Mountain High. There's so many. Saturday Night in Toledo, Ohio, which is really fun. People laugh at that song so much, as almost as if they're hearing it for the very first time. It's sweet.
Well, it's also fun as I look through it. I think this list that I have also is the order you'll be singing things, I'm guessing. And what I find interesting is you go from I won't say names, but you go from a John Denver classic to a Christmas song and some Christmas stuff, and then we're back to a John Denver classic. So does your narrative, I mean, is it sort of a surprise here we are, or do you have a narrative that explains why we're moving from thing to thing?
Yeah, I have a narrative. I mean, I spend, goodness, I spend months composing the set list. Almost kind of like I would a song, the narrative. And then I fill in the narrative with stories and things that kind of set up the song. One of my favorite stories is about the song Follow Me. And that John Denver and Joe Henry, who were on a kind of a hike together, they wrote 18 songs together, including Follow Me. And they came across an old mine shaft. And as they were looking down the mine shaft, they walked in very carefully. And as they looked down the tunnel, they see two words scribbled on this dilapidated wall, Follow Me. And the whole idea of the song is about going on a risk-taking adventure through life. Not mere sentiment. And I've sung that at a thousand weddings, but when I knew that story, it really changed my view of that song. Isn't that interesting?
Well, and that makes me want to ask, what came first? This show? And then you said, I better do some research to find out some John Denver stories that go with it. Or did you know the stories and it blended into this existing show?
You know, the truth of it is, it's kind of organic. The whole show is very organic. In fact, we're even using microphones on the guitars, which is totally different. Most
He didn't do that.
people, no, well, he did it early in his career and then he changed it, you know, because then you have total freedom. But the beautiful thing about that is it brings back that warmth of the acoustic guitar. And it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. But yeah, the whole show, the set list is something that I love to compose, like I would many of my songs. And it's really something that I do walking around on the beach in California for months, you know, just it's a whole thing. Every tour, every show. I mean, the show, the tour has a set, and then I vary some within that, you know, just so that I can adjust things. But I think it's I'll tell you what, it's a lively set, and
Is
the
there an intermission, or
narrative.
you just play all the way through?
Yeah, there's an intermission, and you know, so that folks can use the bathroom and take a break,
Buy a drink.
and you know, it hydrates. Yeah,
No, I said
absolutely.
buy a drink. Well, I guess you said
Oh,
hydrate.
buy a
My
drink.
mind, I was in a different place with
Yeah. Well,
that,
they can do that too, you know.
but okay.
Yeah.
I'll ask you, we're almost out of time, but just for fun, can
Sure.
you give us, like, I've always wondered the Country Roads. What was the reason behind that? What was the story behind that?
You know, the story of behind that was John was in Washington, I think. And at the cellar door, and he was performing with a show there, and a couple named Bill and Taffy Danoff were there also, and they did a little set there, and then they went home to Taffy and Bill and Taffy's home, and they were working. You know, Bill and Taffy had a song that they were working on, and they wanted to play for John. John at the time had a record label, RCA. And they knew that, and so they worked on that song together that night, late into the night. And I forget exactly who wrote what. I think John wrote the bridge, which I think is the best part of the
Definitely, yeah.
song. It's incredible. I mean, he has that G major chord in there that always stumps all my musician friends. So like, what is that? You know, but and it's just powerful. It's a powerful bridge. They tried it out the next night, and the audience responded, and they were stunned. You know, it's like it was a biggest hit. That song, when that song made John Denver, John Denver,
That's why I asked
because
about it. Yeah,
one of the DJs actually played it because he was about to be dropped from the label, from RCA. And this was on, I forget, I think it was on Poems, Prayers, and Promises. And when that got played, it became the biggest hit in the country. And quite frankly, that song just is, oh man. That, like I said, that's the number one song in China in English.
And I love the fact that people will get these kinds of stories in the show. Although, to be honest, I didn't know it involved a woman named Taffy. I would totally write a song about Taffy.
I
That's
know,
the
Taffy. Oh,
greatest name of all
Taffy.
time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Rick, so can't wait to see you in Chicago. Glad you're kind of coming home, so to speak, because you'll get to
I
see a lot
know.
of. And by the way, things change. I mean, you will walk around and just go, "Oh my God, look how much is here now." So I hope you allow
Wow.
yourself some time to get some Lou Malnati's pizza and some Garrett's popcorn and all the great
Totally.
sandwiches. that is around here. The show is a Rocky Mountain Experience John Denver Christmas. It's playing at the Broadway Playhouse, my old theater, and you can see it from December 19th to the 22nd. Tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. They're actually, I looked through the kind of the show times. It's sort of nice because there's some matinees. There's a 7 o'clock and a 2 o'clock and a 1:30, and there's just some different shows so people of all life experiences can hopefully make it work for them. And again, it's important to remember December 19th through the 22nd. Rich Lord, just glad you're coming back to do it. When I first saw this posted up, you're already on the outside of the building at the Broadway Playhouse. And I went, oh, wow, cool, a John Denver show. And then reached out and said, let's talk to him. And here you are. So thank you so much. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, my goodness, Paul. What a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to meeting you in person and looking forward to singing for everybody in Chicago. It's like a coming home thing for me to the Midwest.
You got it. Rick Shuler as John Denver, December 19th to 22nd. Don't miss it. Thank you, my friend. Good to see you.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
You too.